Welcome to the Great Awakening Ministry. I am Minister and Yogini Joanne Lee. And on this week's show, we have Phil Webster. Phil is a writer, actor, and spiritual teacher. After living abroad for 20 years, he returned to the UK and ventured into acting. He has since gone on to appear in movies alongside Sylvester Stallone, Benedict Cumberbatch, and Elle Fanning, among others. After losing his mother in 2021, he realized that he had been diminishing spiritual calls to action his entire life. One particular incident that he writes about in his debut book, Letting Glow, spurred this call to action above all others. He has since trained with indigenous shamans from North and South America, as well as world-renowned mediums such as James Van Praagh, Gordon Smith and Claire Broad. Phil has also studied female spirituality in the Middle Ages at the University of Barcelona and is a trained meditation teacher as well as a personal trainer. His new book, Glowing Deeper, is book two of the Letting Glow trilogy. From ancient teachings of indigenous shamans to Celtic folklore, right up to modern day mediumship, Glowing Deeper expands on the teachings of letting glow and takes a practical approach at demystifying the mystical, enabling us to implement ancient esoteric truths into our day. Oh, I just want to say thank you so much for being on the Great Awakening Show.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Lovely, in this wonderful time that we're in. So I've got so many wonderful questions to ask. And your beautiful book, Glowing Deeper, from the Letting Glow trilogy. And
yeah.
But first of all, Phil, I mean, this show is all about the Great Awakening. And I believe that humanity is going through the greatest awakening that that we can ever be in, I believe. And it's happening at this time. How can ancient esoteric truths assist us in this awakening that we're going through and in our daily lives? Because I know this is a time of relearning those ancient truths and bringing them into our now reality.
So looking into, I mean, like I wrote two books, and then the second book, Glowing Deeper, which was just sort of really further in my journey over the last few years into mediumship and different spiritual practices and stuff like that. So I'm just like looking at over here, that's why I'm just staring over there. But what I found was that there were so many commonalities, like when you look back to, you know, to sort of ancient traditions of shamanism or Celtic mythology, there was a lot of stuff that I would have previously kind of just dismissed just through sort of being a little bit, I don't know. I you know, for example, I was looking into nature spirits and fairies and all this kind of stuff, which was something that I would have been like a few years ago, you know. But when I started looking into it, I was like, okay, there's like a lot of wisdom here, and I should be looking at this with reverence, you know. And what I found really interesting was, again, the commonalities between really these like ancient practices from here in the UK and around Europe, Scandinavia, and then going over to like South America or you know, pre-South America, and just all these similarities. Like even some of the words were the same, you know, when there was like you know, oceans separating us. So I really feel that, and also the commonalities again with sort of learning about mediumship, that it's the same language, you know, we're talking about the same stuff that we were talking about thousands of years ago. Yeah. And it seems that we're sort of, there was, you know, some of us at least are slowly sort of coming back to it. And well, I guess all of us are to a level opening up a lot more and talking about, you know, just sort of turning within and tuning into our intuition rather than just getting caught up in all the, you know, the stuff that's going on now, because I mean, it's clearly not working, is it? You know, the way things are right now in the world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think this is the time of coming back to nature and coming back to the ancient, you know, ways of being that were more in tune with Mother Earth and Father Sky and, you know, the cosmos, living with nature, not against nature. You know, I think this is a big, big awakening that's happening for the people. And it's a awakening. It's like unity consciousness and love awareness is coming back. You know, with our brothers and sisters, it's like we're realizing the ones that have reigned over us, I call it the dark agenda, whatever you want to call it, do not have our best interests at heart.
Yeah,
It's it,
absolutely. This is all
and I think
cunning.
that we're waking up to that. We're waking up to that, and we're realizing it's us. It's not us against each other anymore. We're really waking up to that. I think that's the biggest awakening.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's clear that the old way is just not working anymore. And I say old ways, they're not even that old. We're talking like the last 100 years or so.
Yes. Yes.
Or bit more, but it just doesn't work anymore. It's just all about greed and power. And I feel that, I mean, I do believe that we are going through a transformation period, and that a lot of us are awakening. I've been writing a third book, and I believe I've been channeling it. And something that came up, if I could just sort of paraphrase it, was like, as long as greed is the sort of primary agenda, then it's still going to be this way for a while. But I feel that there is a shift, and there but it's not we're not quite we haven't reached the tipping point yet where we're the majority, and then it will shift. You've
Yes.
still got these old men in charge that are just lying in their pockets, so as long as that's
Service
the thing. But
to
it
self. Service to
yeah
self.
yeah
Yeah.
that's
Instead
it
of
that's
service
it
to others, isn't it? Service to self. That's what they're in.
yeah
So,
yeah
wow. But how can, so the ancient esoteric truths, your book, Glowing Deeper, have you got it there? Can you
I
show
do,
us? Yeah, let's have a look.
yeah, sure. Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. And it's part of a trilogy. So you had letting glow.
Yeah, I've got my first one here as well. This was I wrote them sort of back to back, basically. So yeah, the second one's just come out, and Letting Glow came out last April last year. Yeah.
Beautiful. And how can glowing deeper claims to demystify the mystical? What do you mean by
Yeah.
that?
Yeah. So, I'm very pro-mystical. I don't mean that I'm trying to debunk it by any means. But I feel that we all have, just d obviously we're, probably in the company of people that have already opened up to this. But I feel that, regardless where you are on your journey through life, I feel that we all have these moments of these mystical moments, that we
Yeah.
dismiss. We talk about walking into the room and cutting the air with a knife, or we talk about having a gut feeling, or not quite putting our finger on it, and we're all talking about the same thing. But as soon as you start using words like clairaudience or clairtangence or something like that, then people generally look at you like you're nuts, or just dismiss you. When I think it's just literally we're talking about the same thing. It's just a question of semantics. And we all have these moments, and it's just about paying attention to them and realizing that there is this other world running alongside us. And it's not even another world. When you sort of start picking this apart, like where we are right now, it's nuts. Like when you really start like looking at the fundamentals of it, instead of just sort of drifting along. I mean, even time, like that's just such a big one for me always.
There is no
That
such thing as
doesn't
time.
even make sense.
In the
Yeah, well,
spiritual heavenly
yeah, it's
realms,
this
which it,
complete paradox.
it's all a construct, man-made construct, isn't it? Because in the heavenly spiritual realms, the oneness, which is where we all come from, which is our true home, this is, we come down, we're born into this duality, which is non-reality, and when you look at it like that, in the spiritual realms, it's just complete oneness and linear. There is no time, is there? It's
That's
like,
it. That's it. So, I mean, the whole thing is like mystical. We just kind of choose to ignore it and get caught up in all the daily dramas of this and that and paying the bills and what have you. But I think it's there all around us. And just to sort of go back to demystifying the mystical, that's kind of what I mean by it, that we all have these experiences, but it's like whether you focus on them or not, but they're there.
and everyone, we can all tap into that because, I believe that we are, we are not sinners. We are not unworthy. We are truly remarkable. We have the divinity, the divine flame of God, goddess within, and I think that that is what they've tried to suppress all these years, suppress that. Our ancient ancestors knew that. They worked with the cosmos. They were in touch with their divinity. They were in touch with the veil between the spiritual and the physical. They were so in tune with that. And I think this repressant, from the past 200 years, we've lost it. We've lost the mystical. We've lost the magic. And this great awakening is bringing it back.
Yeah, I believe so. I really do. I mean, I'm relatively officially sort of new to this in the last few years, since having like a couple of really profound experiences that were like, oh, okay, I need to start taking notice of this now, and that's essentially what the books are about, that sort of journey through that. But yeah, I feel, again, I feel that this is clearly the way forward, and that we all have this, and it's just, and I feel that now, just even the last few days, I've really sort of been diving into this a lot. And it's all picking up around me. There was something moving in the living room last night and all this stuff, and now I'm just like, oh, okay, cool. And I know why that is, because I've really been sort of raising it the last few days.
That's
And
right.
yeah, it's really fascinating. Yeah.
And raising our vibration helps us to tap into that otherworldly realm even more, does it not?
Yeah,
These are like, there's
absolutely.
so many different tools that we can use to tap into that, going within, because we learn to our intuition and divine intelligence, which is the mystical within. That's what it is, and it's not this crazy, like, oh, magical, mystical, wonderful. It's quite simple, really. I think spirituality is very simple.
Yeah, no, yeah, definitely. It's, but I also see how easy it is to just sort of fall off track, because just again, just the last few days, I can feel a shift personally that I haven't been in for a while, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is, I feel that I'm like zinging along here the last few days, and I haven't been for months, well, for probably longer, to be honest with you, because the last year I started getting caught up in all this stuff about book sales and this and that, and they're like, what do you got to do this? You got to promote that, which is, that's all part of it, and I agree, I've got to do that. But I started very much sort of concentrating on the practical, and that, and everything started just not going in the direction I wanted it to. And I just feel suddenly I'm like, oh yeah, I'm here again now. This is where I'm supposed to be, and it feels so much lighter and better and more positive. And I know that things are going to go in the direction that I want them to,
That's that spiritual calling, always calling you back to the path, back to the path, because we always vary off, don't we? But it always brings us back to our true calling. Beautiful.
No, and that's it. And I mean, but also we do have to recognize that, obviously we are physically here, we're having this experience, it is what it is, we're moving along with it, whatever it is, and you got to ride it out. And unfortunately, we've set it up how we've set it up, that's, so you got to sort of conform to it somewhat, but I feel that it is possible to sort of walk them both, and just sort of rise a little bit above it. And that's where I feel that, not to sound cliche, but I feel that that's where the magic starts happening.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Definitely. It's like we're human and we're divine, and to find that balance, that wholeness, calling back those parts of ourselves that we gave away to people, places, things throughout our life, bringing that wholeness, bringing that wholeness. That's the place where the divine moment, that's the place where everything's possible. That's the place where miracles, you know, and our intuition, we are in that alignment where wonderful things.
No, I'm feeling that right now. And I'm really sorry to keep sort of saying the same thing, but I'm really... The last couple of days, I'm really recognizing it after not being in this state for a while now.
Wow.
Yeah, just worrying about money.
Also, it's the energies as well. There's so much light coming in. It's really like fastening up the ascension process, I believe, at this time. I think that many wonderful things are going to happen this year. You know, in the 3D, it's like wow. But can you tell us? This is amazing. Please tell us what. Please tell us about your paranormal experience. What happened to you? Yeah. And then touch on about what is mediumship for our audience, because people might not know what that means. So tell us about your paranormal experience.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to ramble on a bit, so forgive me. But I've just got a couple of stories. So essentially the real catalyst to writing, well, my first book, Letting Glow, and everything that's come since, was something that happened around my mum passing. And at the time, my head wasn't where it is now at all. You know, I'd always kind of had an eye on the esoteric, but my beliefs came and went, and I never really sort of dove into it. It was just kind of there. And I would have these things happen every few years. Like about every 5 years, something would happen, either really profound or just a little bit odd, you know. And I would be like, okay, well, that was weird. And then move on, you know, just carry on with, you know, day-to-day existence. The night before my mum passed away, I didn't know she was going to pass away. So it was at the start of 2021 here in the UK. We'd just gone through, I think we were in another lockdown, but no one was really taking it that seriously at that point. I think we were done with it, you know. But I hadn't seen my mum for a couple of months because I was trying to do the right thing. She was 76 years old, wrongly, I kept away. And I hadn't seen her for a while. So we would FaceTime every day. And then on this particular day, we'd spoken once or twice. And she picked the phone up and she was on the Isle of Wight. And I'm in London. So she was about 3 hours away and a short boat trip. So she was on the place where I grew up and she'd lived alone there for about 20 years. Just in case for anyone that doesn't know, it's a very rural place. It's like a little countryside place, seaside and beaches and stuff. But, you know, really quiet, especially in January, especially in lockdown. So I knew all of her day-to-day routines. I knew everybody around her. We didn't have any other family there, and this was about 10 o'clock at night. So she picked up her phone, and as she picked up the phone, she was sort of leaning in from one side, and then there was a man leaning in from the other side. And I saw him long enough that I could describe him. He had like thin and gray hair, glasses, looked like he was in his 60s. And I was shocked, right? You know, because it was 10 o'clock at night, we were in lockdown. I knew everybody. I knew all of her friends, all the neighbors, stuff like that. And she kind of moved back, and he went out of shot, and she went and sat down and started talking. And I was like, well, who was that? And she was like, who was what? And I said, well, I just saw somebody, you know, in the house. And she's like, no, there's not been anyone here all day. And I was just like, okay, what? And she was talking about something or other. And I said, look, mum, I said, I'm sorry, but I just saw somebody. I was like, you're saying there's no one there? And she said, no, she's like, there hasn't been anyone here since lunchtime. She had these sort of nurses that would come and make sure she took her medication and stuff like that. She was like, you know, in her mid-70s and just had a few age-related health problems. But I thought she'd be around for a few years. And I was like, well, guess I was mistaken then. You know, I didn't really sort of attribute it to anything. I believe that there was no one with her physically. Could always tell when there was someone with her because she would put on all these airs and graces and start speaking more politely. And it was like, oh, I couldn't even get a straight conversation out of her. But she wasn't doing any of that. And we spoke for nearly an hour. And I just thought, well, I guess I was mistaken. I guess, I don't know what it was. And then the next morning, I woke up, one of the neighbors were calling me and they couldn't get into my mum's, and my mum was having a heart attack. And she passed away that morning. So, you know, through all of the shock and the grief and everything that comes with that, my mind just kept going back to this thing that I'd seen. And I was like, well, what was that then? What are we talking here? You know, are we talking spirit guides, ghosts, what? And again, I ruled out the possibility that there was somebody there. Of course, I wasn't there. There might, you know, the most extreme sort of skepticism there that there could have been somebody there. But knowing her as well as I did, knowing her daily routines, we were in a lockdown. It was 10 o'clock at night. You know, like we've been doing this for like a year. You know, and almost this kind of interaction. I believe that there's no one physically with her, so I guess that you know, I believe that that was somebody telling me that she was about to pass. And I didn't take any notice of it, like I hadn't taken notice of a lot of other things over the years, and it kind of really made me sort of reevaluate my whole beliefs. Of course, I wanted to believe that my mum still existed in some sort of way. Of course, I missed her, so I really started delving into looking into mediumship and stuff like that, which I'll get to. But what one of the primary things is that, yeah, it really made me look back over these other things that had happened. I've got another long-winded story. Shall I keep this brief? Because I could just tell you another sort of awakening moment, but
Yeah,
I'll
go.
see you. Sure.
Yeah.
So prior to that, that was really the catalyst for me. But the something really big happened around. I mean, I'm 48 now. Around 35 years old, I was living abroad. I was living in Helsinki, running bars and nightclubs, and I was living a very cynical sort of life at the time. I was, you know, sleeping all day, working all night. You're around people that are just drunk all the time, and I've kind of just got a bit like I was living somewhat of a shallow existence, I would say. And anyway, I woke up on this one particular morning, and I wasn't hungover or anything. There was no alcohol involved or anything like that. And I was just kind of laying there, and I was thinking about what we just talked about how, you know, time is non-linear. And you know that I was just kind of thinking, well, we've got this moment now. Where is that moment now? It was just here, but where is it? I know that like my brain is telling me that it's on this timeline behind me, but it's not physically here. And it was, you know, it sort of sounds like stoner talk or something. But you know, I thought it was like a, I was like, well, this is nuts, you know. And it wasn't like I hadn't thought of this before, but all of a sudden something shifted, and it was like a really, really. I can't emphasize how profound the shift was. It was all of a sudden as though I were like plucked out of myself and was just like observing my own thoughts. And all of a sudden it was just like now. And then it was just like now, now, now. And, you know, people talk about living in the moment and connecting with the moment of it now. It was like that times a thousand. It was just like this whole new shift. And everything just fell away, and everything just seemed absurd. Like I seemed absurd. Everything else seemed absurd, and none of it suddenly made sense to me. And I was like, okay, what the hell is going on? This was just out of nowhere, and it sent me into a full blown panic attack. I tried to walk it off. That didn't do anything. I went to work that night, and I was sort of like trying to tell people what was going on. They were like, no idea what the hell you're talking about, you know. And this went on for weeks, and I was like, it just didn't stop. It was just now, 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 all the time. I couldn't just sort of drift off and think, well, what am I going to do later tonight, or what did I do yesterday? It was just like this ultimate awareness, like I was zinging along to this new frequency. And I would love to say it was amazing. But it wasn't. It was horrifying. It scared the crap out of me. And after about 2 weeks, I wasn't attributing it to any kind of spiritual this or that. My head wasn't there at the time, so I went to a doctor. And they started using words like psychosis and gave me like a bunch of meds like anti-anxiety pills, sleeping pills. Sleeping pills would knock me
As they
out. I would
would
wake up.
for spiritual
Yeah.
awakening, of course they would.
Right. And I would wake up the next day and this whole thing would just start up again. Now, now, now. And I couldn't switch it off. And it was exhausting. It was just like I couldn't just relax and just drift into my thoughts. It was just like awareness, awareness, awareness. And it just kept going on. I went to another doctor, same thing again. And after maybe a month or two, I was like, okay, well, this ain't working for me anymore. I'd just gone from, you know, living my life like drifting along quite aimlessly and happily, I thought it was. And all of a sudden, I was starting to think, well, I'm checking out of here if this is the way my brain works now. Again, wasn't thinking of anything spiritual. I just thought something had switched in there. And maybe it had. I don't know. You know, I'm not dismissing mental illness by any means, but I was showing all the symptoms of like a depersonalization experience and all that kind of stuff. Eventually, I found a therapist who was a hypnotist. So I went to him and I was like, okay, just zap this shit away. I just want to get back. I don't know what's going on. And I'd found the one sort of medical professional that seemed to know exactly what was going on. And he was like, no, 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 man. He's like, you're not going nuts. He said, this is an awakening. He said, you're awakening. You've just woke up to like ultimate reality. And I was like, whatever, I don't particularly care. I just make it stop, you know. And he gave me a very basic grounding meditation that really quickly just brought me back, like right there and then. It didn't last. I kept having to do the meditation every day, but very gradually, and I'm talking over a year, I would have like one good day, and then a bit later I'd have two good days, and you know, so on. And then very slowly I sort of came back to where everybody is. And I was just thankful for it, you know. But I have to say, like, my ego just got smashed to pieces, like during that whole process. I sort of reevaluated everything, dropped a lot of dead weight, you know, people around me. I just changed my whole outlook. I moved back to the UK. It changed a lot. I wouldn't particularly like to go through it again. But it did, it gave me this new awareness. But I've got to say, back then, as soon as I was through it, I was like, okay, great. I just put it behind me. And again, no matter what this guy was talking about an awakening, and he was calling me a mystic and all this stuff that at the time I just felt kind of awkward about. I was like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. But now, in hindsight, and all that I've got into since, looking back on all these things that would happen, and other things that happened as well, I was like, okay, this seems like this has always been a thing, and that I needed to take notice of. And kind of here we are, you know. So yeah, so that was my other long-winded story about that.
Wow,
But
that's
sorry,
brilliant.
we should go into mediumship. Yeah, sorry, I
Yeah,
forgot about
yeah, yeah,
that. Yeah.
yeah. So, and
But yeah, sorry.
go on. No, mediumship, definitely. So, yeah, describe, mediumship to our audience.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just, you know, at its most basic level, I'd got a sort of an idea of what it was. And after losing my mum, I was working on a film. So I was working sort of sporadically as an actor, and my sort of measure of success for that was like paying the rent with it. And I was kind of all right. I wasn't under any illusions about, you know, being the next Tom Cruise or anything at 48. You know, I was like, this is fine. This is paying the bills. I enjoy the stuff. I've kind of moved, sort of got over it a bit now. But I was working on this film straight after my mum passed, and it was a good stretch of work. So it was good money, and we'd just been through COVID and all that stuff. So I did it. But I was just, you know, my head wasn't there. I was just, you know, missing my mum like crazy. I was crying all the time. And I started looking at books that I'd sort of picked up in the past around this subject. I didn't really know anything about sort of life after death stuff, other than, you know, a little bit of interest here and there. So I was reading stuff like Neil Donald Walsh and stuff like that.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and then I eventually came across this book by a medium called Claire Broad. And the title is like, What the Dead Are Dying to Teach Us. And I thought, well, that's an interesting title.
Beautiful,
And
yeah.
I didn't know where Claire was from. Yeah, she could have been from America. She could have been, I assume she was American. She could have been from anywhere. And I started reading this book, and immediately the first page of the book took place across the street from where I lived. Like, right, I could look out my window and see what she was talking about. So Claire had
Wow.
grown up in Richmond in London, where I'm based. And our first psychic experience took place in the cemetery that I could literally see out of my window. And I was like, well, that's weird. You know, like, what are the chances?
No
This is.
coincidences there.
Yeah. But I didn't put it down to, I was like, well, that's a coincidence. And read the book. But anyway, it sort of opened me up to this idea about mediumship. And pretty soon afterwards, I walked down the street, and I walked past this tiny church that I probably walked past 30 times before, because I just moved to that area then. And it was a spiritualist church, and I didn't know what one of those was. And I saw that there was a demonstration of mediumship every Sunday. So I looked into that, and essentially, as I understood it, a medium stands there, gives a demonstration, goes to different people, and, you know, says, well, I've got your granddad or your Uncle Tom or whatever. And you know, nobody had to pay anything. You just show up. And this was probably about 3 months after my mum passed, and I was like, all right, let's give this a go. So I went to show up at this small church on a Sunday night on my own, and I just watched this lady working around the congregation. Her name's Janet Neville, by the way. And she was just getting affirmation after affirmation. Everyone was like, yep, makes perfect sense. And by the time she was getting to me, and it wasn't guaranteed that she would get to me, you know, she didn't give a reading to everybody. But I was kind of convinced that this was legit, you know. And of course, I'd gone there hoping that my mum would come through, but I was also really skeptical about it. Anyway, she started talking to me, and she started talking about a guy who'd passed that I knew, that was a friend of mine. And I was thinking, well, I had no idea who she's talking about. And then eventually she just kept persevering, and she was giving me more and more about him. And then all of a sudden I was like, shit, I get who she's talking about now. I just remembered a friend of mine that had passed when he was about 19. And then it all fell into place, everything she'd said. And right before she finished, she said, "Oh, I've got a lady that's recently passed here, you know, like an elderly lady." And I was kind of, you know, and the game changer was that this medium, she had a very somewhat stronger of a Cockney accent. I don't want to be too unfair to her. She had a Cockney accent, but not, you know, like proper gangster accent or anything. But all of a sudden her accent changed to like a Northern English accent, like my mum's accent. And she started talking like as my mum, and just described, and it was a very brief message, just described how she passed, and you know, that she got lifted up and that she's around me, and all the sort of standard things that the medium say. And it was a really brief message, but just the fact that her accent changed to a Northern English accent, I was like, wow, you know. And that hadn't happened anywhere else that when she'd been given readings. And that was just really, that solidified it for me. I was like, okay, well, this is a real deal. Very shortly after that, I saw that Claire Broad, whose book I'd read, was given a course at the College of Psychic Studies, which I've got to admit sounded ridiculous to me at the time. I was like, the College of what? You know?
Brilliant.
And I went along, not like unsure what to expect. And then I sort of told Claire the stories that I just told you, and a few other things. And she was the first person that ever sort of really took me seriously and was like, "Oh yeah, well that means that, and this means that, and that's because your crown chakra is there." I didn't know what a chakra was, you know, and everything sort of fell into place, and we really hit it off as well. And she's still my, you know, she leads the circle that I'm in now. And yeah, everything changed basically, and everything changed. So just to sort of briefly, you know, like I believe that mediumship is, you know, the you're literally the, you know, the go-between between somebody that's passed and, you know, the connection to somebody that might want to hear from somebody that's passed on. Also, we're talking about bringing spirit guides into it, who are essentially, as I see it, like another medium. They're sort of the medium between the medium and the spirit world. And then these connections come through, and you give evidence of somebody continuing after death. And that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Beautiful. And are our spirit guides, they're like our angels and our spirit guides, and they are our past loved ones, aren't they? Around us,
Yeah,
guiding us
absolutely.
from the spirit world, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they come in all shapes and forms. I think they come in, and I think that they come and go depending where we are. I mean, again, you know, somebody might disagree with me somewhere. I'm relatively new to this. This has been 3 years that I've really been diving into it, and I feel like a little bit of a maverick writing these books, you know, like, oh, anyone can become a medium, you know. And I'm sort of mindful of not upsetting any sort of traditional spiritualists or anything like that. I'm aware that it does take some time. I'm not calling myself a medium. I'm still developing. You know, so I do want to come at it with respect and reverence. But the way I've understood it so far, and then again writing a book that I'm writing at the moment, which I believe I'm channeling, I was sort of shown this, and I've always been sort of interested in this. I was shown kind of like a coliseum, to just sort of give me a grasp on it. And like, if we're at the center on the, you know, the playing field or what have you, then those the guys that are more sort of concerned with our daily sort of activities are sort of like closer to us, around those, you know, around the bottom of the Colosseum, and then it kind of goes up. And although I was kind of shown that there's not really a traditional hierarchy in terms of no one's kind of, you know, considering themselves better than anybody else in that realm, that there is a level of going up and going up, and sort of the further you go up, you're sort of dealing with, like, you know, deeper truths, more philosophical ideas. So, you know, we've got our sort of me our forgive me angels and guides that deal with us on, you know, to do with relationships and going left instead of right or something like that. And then sort of like the further up you go, the sort of higher you raise yourself, then you might come to those
Then
parts that
the
are
higher
sort
ones come in. The more evolved you
of,
become, the higher ones can come in.
right, and dealing with sort of deeper spiritual truths, and I seem to be somewhere around that area at the moment in terms of writing what I'm writing at the moment, because the stuff that's coming out, I'm like, I know I don't know those things. I know I don't know those
Do you know,
things, you
I'm
know.
exactly the same. I've
Smart.
been writing my book and it just comes through and I reread it and it makes me cry because I can't remember. It's amazing as it comes through.
It is. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly the same story.
The station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living. A people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And, I mean, I'm a yogini. I do lots of meditation. I think it's one of the most key disciplines that we can use in this life. And I think it's really important, you know, so important. How can the use of meditation connect us to the loved ones who have passed away?
Well, I say this a lot. I mean, this is my understanding of it and what's worked for me. So it might be different for somebody else. You probably know more about meditation than I do. But all I can sort of say is my experience of what's worked for me. And if that resonates with somebody else, then great. If it doesn't, I'm not saying that this is the way. I'll just say that it's kind of like my way. And it might work for somebody else. But essentially, I'll just sort of, the way that I've looked at meditation is just being able to step back from your thoughts and recognizing that you're this consciousness that's aware of your thoughts. So, you know, a lot of people sort of worry about getting distracted and say, well, I can't meditate because I'm thinking about this all the time. You're going to think about that all the time. You know, it's just being able to sort of recognize that you don't have to get caught up in it, that you've got this sort of, I don't know, carnival of thoughts going around in front of you that are just like, oh, hey, look at me, you know, and that's going to happen. But when you can start to recognize that you are the one that's looking at it, that you don't necessarily have to get caught up.
Yeah,
then you recognize that that's you, that this is your core, you know, that's watching all this play out. And in terms of mediumship, I think it's really the key towards mediumship, if that was where someone wanted to go. And when you start to be able to recognize the difference between that and this observer back here, then when something new comes in, then you're like, oh, okay, that's not me. And that's not that. This is from somewhere else. And you start to recognize it as that. Because initially I was like, what the hell am I talking? What am I thinking about here? You know, I'm giving people the most random sort of things, just practicing that in a circle, in a development circle. You know, I remember saying once to somebody, all right, I've got an orangutan and a nappy, you know, I don't know what, you know, and thinking they were going to think I'm just talking absolute rubbish, you know. And she was like, oh, yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. I know exactly who you're talking about, you know. So it's just, you know, being able to sort of get that separation, and when something new comes in, then trust in that's worth taking note of, you know.
Yeah, that's right. It's like you're going in and, you know, like our pineal glands, it picks up that divine love light energy from, you know, God, goddess, whatever you want to call it, source, the spiritual world, doesn't it? And that's the divine, you know, that's photons of light, divine intelligence, information that's coming in. So that's our time when I believe in meditation, we are in the veil between the physical and the spiritual. And that antenna that goes out and it can pick up in the multidimensional realms, of all these places where all of the in the astral, the causal, where the spirits are, they can, you're saying that in that place, we can open up and allow them that communication, allow them to come in.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, and just sort of going back to what I've been writing about lately, I've been saying, well, like, because I also had an experience a few years back, again, before my mum passed, not long before she passed, actually, like a couple of years, that I woke up one morning and I was like, okay, what the hell's going on here? And I thought that it was kind of like a flashback to whatever the hell had happened years before. And I was like, okay, what's going on? And it was just that sort of state of just waking up like instantly. And I felt like, and the way that I described it at the time was that like there was like a download going into the top of my head, like this rainbow stream of light. And I was like, what the heck's this? And something was as almost asking me, like, well, do you still want this or what? As though we'd agreed on it before. And I was like, no, what the hell's going, and I just snapped myself out of it and it stopped. And I just kind of lay there. And interestingly, I saw like a holographic grid above me. And this happened a few times afterwards, but it was the first time it had ever happened. And I was like, well, that's kind of weird. And I just watched it fade out and it was really precise. And then it just sort of faded away. And I was like, well, what the heck was that? Again, no ideas what spirit guides were, nothing about chakras, anything like that. And then later on learning about, that's the crown chakra and that's where we connect to guides. And then sort of looking into shamanism some years later and reading that it was quite common to see a grid, that the shamans talked about in a grid when they would connect with their spirit guides. And I was like, well, this stuff happened to me already years ago again. And I don't know what that information was. And again, it was one of those things that I was just like, I don't know what to do with that. So I just forgot it and moved on. But again, looking back on it, it all makes sense,
That happened to me.
sorry.
I think the first time, the first time I took ayahuasca, I went in. And I thought that I was in that grid. It was like
Okay,
the
interesting.
colored, the colored hologram, grid, which is, a little bit like this 3D matrix that we're in. It's not reality, is it? It's, it is a construct of all of our consciousness. But yeah, that's just amazing that you said that, because that's what I saw as well.
Well, yeah, and I've never done ayahuasca. I don't feel I feel that I've got nothing against it at all. I just feel that I won't because I seem to be able to
I don't
do
need to
that.
do that ever again either. It was
Yeah,
just
that's what I
something that I
mean.
did when I was young. And because going within and being natural, we can produce our own DMT within the pineal glands. We've got the sacred secretions of the pineal and the pituitary. We don't need any outside stimulus. It's all
No,
within.
yeah, I feel like I can sort of step into that like a little bit too easily sometimes. So I'm just, I don't, I'm, yeah, I'll leave that.
Oh, wow.
I'll leave that to braver people than
Yeah, that's it.
myself.
Yeah,
So
no, well, I wouldn't do it again either. But I'm raising our consciousness. Now, there's I just want you to describe a little bit about each, because you talk about all of these in your book. And they're all beautiful ways of raising our consciousness. Witchcraft, shamanism, the Celtic traditions, and the tarot cards. And I love them all. And I think that we're all part of that. I think that when we reincarnate, you never you lose your spirituality. You might have been a monk in another life, then you come back as a shaman in this one, then you're a yogi, but you are always living in that spiritual, reincarnation. You're always experiencing, those different parts of being a spiritual person. So tell us a little bit about each of them.
It's changed. I can feel the change. I sound, if anybody else listened to this that wasn't into this, they'd be like, the hell are those two talking about? It'd be like somebody explained,
It's true.
somebody said to me the other day, do you remember like Charlie Brown, when like Snoopy would hear Charlie Brown talk and everyone's going like blah, 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 like that. It was like just like that to some people, we're just talking absolute gibberish. But you can't go back. Once you've opened that door and you
Yeah,
see this, you
that's
can't go
right.
back.
Once you're awake, you can't go back.
And again, and I'll go around talking about this stuff. And again, if it resonates with someone, great. If it doesn't, I get it. A few years ago, I would have been like, what the heck are those two talking about? They're just talking absolute like
But
new age crap.
this is the reason why we're all here. is to awaken. That's the reason why we're here on this earth plane.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. And then evolve. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Phil, it's been so great talking to you.
And you too, yeah. We went into it there.
I know. And where can we read your beautiful book, Glowing Deeper?
Yeah, both books are available, you know, obviously on Amazon, and then they're available from all the usual bookstores, like everywhere. If they haven't physically got it, they've got it in a couple of like bookshops in London, sort of esoteric bookshops like Watkins and Atlantis and stuff like that. But yeah, Waterstones, they've got it in their library. You know, you can order it online and go pick it up and all that. So yeah, available everywhere. And then I've got a website, philwebster.com. That's Phil with two L's, because I think otherwise you get some dude who's a blacksmith in Yorkshire. But yeah, and I've got this idea, and I keep talking about it, and I haven't put it into action yet. But I would like to set up an online circle where people can come together and just we can meditate and sort of talk about this stuff and go forth.
Brilliant.
Yeah, interestingly, I swear I just saw something fly off to your right there.
So did I in my left. Yeah, I just saw that.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Right. They're all around us, Phil. They're all around us.
Yeah. That's it. That's it. Nice. Nice. And I'll do the same. I'll stick it on my socials and my website as well.
Right. Yeah. Brilliant. Oh, lovely cool. to meet you.
You too. Nice to have met you. Have a good rest of your day.
And you. Bye, Phil.
Yeah.